So I've been meditating on one of my personal devotions that I had maybe quite some time back, of something that had come, and I thought, well, maybe, Lord, I could pull that out and maybe there'd be something in there for us tonight. So that's what I felt like that the Lord laid on my heart. And the title of my lesson tonight is Be Faithful in the Little Things. So who is familiar with the book Up from Slavery? Anyone? Over here? Yes? Maybe? Yeah. All right. Author Booker T. Washington. Who has heard that name before? Okay, so we got a little few more. So it's kind of an interesting story, and I grew up on the radio program Uncle Dan and Aunt Sue, and listening to that when I got off the bus every day. And this story was one of the ones that I thoroughly enjoyed and told. So I'd like to tell you a little bit about his story, and there's like a spiritual lesson that I got from it, and hopefully you will as well. So he was born in 1856 in Virginia, and he was a slave. He was the son of Jane. I thought that was interesting. Just Jane, nothing else. Of course, Booker didn't have a last name either. He didn't know the day or the month or the year he was born. That was actually discovered later after he died, but he didn't know anything about that. He didn't know his father. He was believed to be a white man from another plantation, which was not uncommon, sadly, in those days. But at age 9, some U.S. troops came to the plantation, and they read a document to the slaves called the Emancipation Proclamation. And you can imagine the joy that was there that day when they were told, you are no longer a slave. You are free to go wherever you want. In his words, his mother said she had hoped to see it here, but didn't think that would happen in her lifetime. And so they actually moved. She moved her family to West Virginia. Her husband lived there, which would be Booker's stepfather. Now, Booker wanted an education. He actually began to teach himself how to read. At the age of 9, he began to teach himself how to read and worked really hard to get into a school. When he was asked for his last name at the school, he didn't have one. So he thought, I'll just take the last name of my stepfather. And that was Washington. So that's how he got his name. One day while he was working in a coal mine, he overheard two men talking about there was a school for black Americans. And his ears, of course, perked up. He's like, I'd love to go to this school. And he heard it was Hampton Institute, only 500 miles away. And so he began to save his money. And he worked. Took him a long time to save. So he began to travel. Sometimes he could take a stagecoach. Sometimes he could hitch a ride in a wagon. But most of the time, he just walked all the way, this 500 miles. When he got there, he finally arrived at the school, and he wanted to be admitted into the school, and he had basically no money. I tried to look it up. It might have been a few dollars, it might have been a few cents, but he did not have the tuition at all. But he wanted this. He was so sure he wanted this education that he went on in anyway. So the head teacher, her name was Miss Mackey, and she's interviewing and working with students and getting them enrolled. And Booker sits and he waits until the very last student is taken care of. And so finally, Miss Mackey comes over to him. And I'm sure from the reports that you read and stories you read about him, he looked pretty rough. He had to stop along the way and get some jobs. He had to work on a steamboat. He had to sleep under the sidewalk. Back then it was like a wooden sidewalk and he had to sleep under there because it was cold. He wasn't allowed to stay in a hotel. We obviously still had a lot of segregation going on in those days. And she comes over to Booker and she said, Booker, I want you to sweep the room next door. And she walked away. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that's kind of odd. Booker comes here to get an education. He wants to enroll in the school. He wants to become a student. She knows he doesn't have money. And she tells him to sweep the room. So Booker goes into the room. He swept it 3 times. He mopped the floor. He dusted the furniture. He washed down the walls. When Miss Mackey returned, the room was immaculate. It was spotless. Needless to say, Booker was hired as a school janitor, worked his way through Hampton Institute, and years later he came back as a teacher, and he went on in 1881 to become the head of a new school in Alabama, Tuskegee Institute, and was able to help people in an amazing way. Read about him if you don't know. It's an awesome story. But my text comes from Luke 16 and 10, which says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful in that which is much. And the Amplified says, he who is faithful in a very little thing is also faithful in much. And he who is dishonest in a very little thing is also dishonest in much. Now, have you ever been asked to do something very little, very small? Now, Booker worked for a Miss Ruffner before he went to Hampton Institute. And in the Uncle Dan and Aunt Sue story, he called her that Yankee woman. I think she kind of got under his skin. She was very particular, very particular. And the story is told that once there was they had this huge plantation. It's a super hot day, and he was out on the porch, and Ms. Ruffner come out, and she says, Booker, you see that little piece of trash clear down there? Well, he don't want to go clear down there. It's hot. Probably plantation, you know, no doubt. It's a long ways, and she sees it. But he says, yes, ma'am, that tiny white thing? Yes, Booker, go pick it up. But years later, he said, I learned such a strong work ethic when I worked for Ms. Ruffner and the importance of cleanliness. Do you think that might have helped him when he was told to sweep a room and he went above and beyond? No doubt that training from those years working for Ms. Ruffner came to play. How often do we think, oh, it's not that important. That doesn't matter. Why do I have to do that? Do you ever say, oh, I didn't read my Bible today. Oh, it's no big deal. Just one day. Just a little thing. Just a little thing. Oh, I didn't make my bed. Oh, I was supposed to do all my chores. That was the only one I didn't do. Just a little thing. Just a little thing. I didn't obey Mom and Dad completely. I mean, they said don't do this, but I didn't completely obey them. It's just a little thing. I did almost everything they said. I didn't follow all the directions. Now, these are clearly not being faithful at all, and we're leaving a little bit out. But I want to talk to you about doing just enough. In our life, physical, spiritual, whatever, do we do just enough? Do we say, that's all I'm doing, nothing more. No more, no less. That's it. I'm not doing any more. Make my bed. Okay, I'll make my bed. Mom didn't say anything about the piles of clothes and the laundry that needs done. She didn't say anything about that. I'm just going to make my bed. That's it. And nothing more. Read your Bible. Sure, I'll read my Bible. I'll read one verse at 11:59 p.m. right before I go to sleep, because so I can say I've read my Bible today. I have read my Bible. Nothing more. I want you to tell the truth. Well, sure, if I must, I'll tell you the truth. But I'm not going to tell you anything, because what you don't know won't hurt you. Sometimes we have to be careful. Well, you never asked. Well, I need to know this. Well, you never asked me. I'm not doing anything more. You see trash as you're walking down the hallway in the church building. Somebody else will pick that up. There's janitors here. There's people after church to sweep. They'll take care of it. It's not my job. I'm doing just enough. Don't ask me to do anything extra. You go to work. I'm going to put a good day's work in. I'm going to clock in at exactly 9 o'clock. And I'm going to clock out at exactly 5 o'clock. And I'm going to take all my breaks. They're going to be right on time. And I'm going to do exactly what I'm told to do. Nothing more, nothing less. Don't even ask any more out of me. Well, that's what you're getting paid for. I agree. That 8-hour shift. Nothing more, nothing less. But is being faithful doing the bare minimum? What if Miss Mackey was testing Booker? And I think she was, because why would she ask him to sweep a room when he's come to enroll in the school? What if it was a test? Now, Booker could have said, I did what she said, nothing more, nothing less. I swept that room one time. That's all she told me to do. I don't know what she's getting upset about. Why she wasn't impressed. I didn't see anybody else sweeping the room when they come to enroll in this school. But he did more. 3 times. And he mopped. And he dusted. And he scrubbed down the walls. He went above and beyond in his faithfulness. If he would have only swept that room one time, do you think he would have been hired as janitor at Hampton Institute? Do you think he would have graduated? and went on to be the head of the Tuskegee Institute. Is sometimes in our life when we do exactly what we're told, nothing more, nothing less, is God testing us? Perhaps he's wanting to see, is my servant faithful? Again, whoever is faithful in small matters will be faithful in the large ones. When it comes to your chores, when it comes to your responsibilities, your schoolwork, your job responsibilities, your opportunities to help other people. Well, they never hold the door open for me, so I'm telling you right now, I'm not holding it for them. Nobody asked me to, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do. They drop something, well, somebody can help them pick it up. Nobody helps me when I drop things. Sometimes it's easy, I think. We can maybe get in a mindset and we need to be reminded. Faithful, we think that means do exactly what you're told. What if being faithful means doing a little bit more than you're told? Doing a little extra, going above and beyond. Matthew 25 and 21 says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things." Now, at this stage in life, I have a feeling all of you are hoping there's something bigger and better. You're hoping this is not it, right? You're hoping the teen years and early 20s are not it. You're hoping to get a good job and find that awesome spouse and have a house and have kids, maybe some money in the bank. You're hoping this is not it. You're hoping you're going to be a ruler over many things. But God's saying, well, you need to be faithful where you're at right now. So I found this online, this story online. This is not my story, so I'm going to have a disclaimer there. But it reminded me of this, and I still have it. I took this in the ninth grade online, a typing class. You probably don't call it typing now. You probably call it keyboarding or something of that nature. But I took a typing class. So we would tape piece of paper. Actually, the teacher taped a piece of paper over the keys so I could not see them. And this book here, I'd open it up and we would have something called, let me find the right page, exercises that I would do. And so this is what this story was telling them. And they said, in the first few weeks, so you imagine a keyboard, she said, I would type A Q, A W, A E A R A T. Now imagine that in your head. What did I just do? I went across the top of the keyboard with the A's, right? Then she said I would do S Q S W S E S R S T. Think about a keyboard again. Then we gotta go to the letter D. D Q D W D E D R D T. Then we're gonna go to the F. F Q F W. I don't know if I'm raising the right fingers. F-E, F-R, F-T. Then we switch hands, and we do this hand. And she said, we did this for weeks. And I'm like, will I ever learn how to type? This is not typing. What do these exercises have to do with typing? This makes no sense. Then finally, the teacher said, this week we're going to type in sentences. Yes, finally, we're making progress. And as she's typing, she couldn't believe it was words and sentences and paragraphs. It was going so quickly. It was going easily because she had done all those exercises ahead of time. Those little, simple typing exercises, A-Q, A-W, A-E, taught discipline to her fingers. Her fingers began to know where those keys were located. And I thought as I was typing this lesson today, once you've learned how to type, and I'm sure all of you know how to type, no doubt. You don't think about it. You don't even think much about, unless you're reaching for that random key that you hardly ever use, you're just doing it. Because all of those simple exercises have taught you a discipline in typing. The exercises, something small, something little, she was faithful in the little things, taught her something big. And she said she went on to type 60 words a minute, and she was the best in her class. From something little. What about God's exercises? What if every day he's giving us something little to do? A-Q, A-W, A-E. And it might seem so unimportant. Who cares how I load the dishwasher? I put that one on there because at our house, my husband thinks things should be loaded just a certain way. I'm like, there's only three people in this house. Typically, that dishwasher's not going to be full. I don't care. Just get them in there, wash them, get them clean, get them out. But he's like, Sherry, if you line them up like this and you put the bowls like that, and to make him happy, I'm working really hard to load the dishwasher the Steve Strelecki way. I don't even know if he's noticed. I wish he was here. I can't ask him. But that seems really unimportant to me. I don't care. But it's important to him. He would open the dishwasher and it would be a big sigh. I said, honey, just shut it. Let me load it. Just don't look at it. I have a system. I don't know what it is. It's probably, no one knows what it is. But it meant a lot to him. It's a little thing. It's a little thing. I'm pretty sure the dishes are coming out clean either way. And so I thought, you know what? I'll do that for him. I'll do my best to load the dishwasher. I'm probably quite not there yet. Some days I'm like, just turn the light off. It's fine. It's fine. Don't look. But that was a little thing. But it brings harmony in the home. I can only speak. I speak from a married place because that's where I'm at now. You're all obviously single in the home. But something else that I have laughed about and probably told you about is we used to have many blinds on all the windows in our house. And if I open them or shut them, I don't care if they're a little bit crooked. It doesn't matter. The bottom on the left side is a half inch higher than the bottom on the right side. I don't care. I open them up, let the sunshine in, I shut them, and don't let anybody see me at night. That's what mini blinds are for. My husband, when he pulls in the driveway, it's like fingernails on a chalkboard when they're crooked, and he can't hardly handle it. And so I worked really hard to keep those mini blinds, as they may be only a quarter inch off, because I have trouble, but because I know how important that is to him. And to me, that's a little thing. But as he sees I'm working hard, that makes him feel nicer towards me. And then when I need something from him, it's kind of funny how that works. He's more open to helping me out because I've tried to make things in the home better and easier. It's little things, and it might not seem like a big deal. You might, they probably will never notice. It was very windy yesterday, people's trash cans blown out in the road. And maybe you went out and you got your neighbor's trash can and you put it up in his driveway. You're like, he isn't even home. It doesn't even matter. He'll never know I did this. It's just a little thing. Why do I even bother? But those little things, like the typing exercises, they're teaching us a discipline. It's going to lead to bigger things in life. Your neighbor might not have noticed, but perhaps the other neighbor noticed. Perhaps your mom and dad noticed, and they're like, thank the Lord, they're finally taking initiative. I've prayed for this so long. This is happening. I've said that before about my own children. They're growing up. Oh, proud mom moment. You think about how Booker's little thing. Does anybody in here not know how to sweep and dust and wash some walls? Not even properly. Just, you just know the general, you just know generally how to do it. Yes, properly would help. Yeah, we all know. Nobody can say, I don't know, Mr. Jerry. That wasn't something complicated that Booker did. But look how that little thing brought him about that education he was looking for. If you go study what he did at Tuskegee Institute, he was able to teach many former slaves how to, I think it was like rotate crops, and there's a lot of things that he was able to give back. It was just a huge accomplishment and thing that he did for his people that he would have never been able to do, I no doubt, if he hadn't done the little things. Faithfulness is often, like I said, might be doing just a little bit more than is expected. Miss Mackey, I'm pretty sure, did not expect 3 times sweeping and mopping and dusting and scrubbing walls. I'm sure her mouth was like, her jaw probably fell open. What do we have here? This person's unique. Faithfulness might be just do a little extra, a little bit more when it comes to obeying your parents. Well, they didn't say not to do that, but yeah, I think if I'd ask them right now, they'd say no. So let's just err on the side of caution. Let's give a little extra. Doing your chores, like I talked about the dishwasher. Does your parents have a certain way they like things done? And you're like, you know what? I think it's ridiculous, but I'm going to honor my mother and my father. and I'm going to do it just the way they asked me to, even though I don't think it matters, even though I think it's little. Because Sister Sherry said being faithful is doing a little extra. It's going just a little bit of an extra mile. What about your personal devotions? Maybe I'll put a little extra in there. God said, read your Bible, pray every day. Maybe I could read my Bible 2 times. Maybe I could pray 3 times. Maybe I could pray in the morning and on the way to school, and I could pray in the evening. Maybe I could give a little extra. Because he that is faithful in that which is little will be faithful in that which is much. I'm learning a discipline. So I read a quote that said, strive to be faithful to that which is God has called you. So I'm thinking about, what season of life are you in right now? Where has God called you right now? Maybe some of you are still minors, or you're still living in the home. And some of you are still in school. Maybe you're in high school. Maybe you're, we got probably some in middle school. We might have some in college. Maybe you have a job. Maybe you have neighbors. Funny story. Completely an aside. We have a neighbor whose dog likes to come over and take care of his daily business in our driveway. And that just does not make this mom very happy. And many times I would not do this, but you just wanted to go to the neighbor and say, could you please keep your dog home? But I haven't, because I want to be a good neighbor. And now we have a dog that does that very same thing, and it belongs to us. And so I can't say anything. But I thought about that neighbor. That's a dumb story, I know, but it just kind of made me laugh tonight, because I was thinking about, we want to be a good neighbor. And perhaps you think, well, you know, this is not right. That neighbor should make this right, what they did. But we're going to be going an extra mile in being faithful. We're going to do a little more. Think about your friends or your family. How can you be faithful in the little things in those areas? Again, we just think that means doing just the bare minimum. What if we all did a little more? What if we all swept the room 3 times? Oh, not literally. I'm not talking about going home and sweeping your living room 3 times, but figuratively. What if we went just a bit above and beyond in whatever we've been asked to do? Sister Victoria asks you to sing a song and you say, absolutely. How soon do you need me? Sister Sherry asks you to bring a youth lesson and you say, yes, I could do it twice. Okay, that might be a little much. One can always hope up here. But I love this story, and I'll never forget this story of Booker, and hopefully you won't either, who was asked to do a simple chore, one small simple chore. And he might have thought that was kind of below him, but he went just a little above and beyond, and it changed his life. Again, our scripture. The second scripture, Matthew 25 and 21. Well done. Oh, I like that a boy. How about you? Positive affirmation. Good job. Thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many.